Is it the absence of the sound of the Kentish landscape we're travelling through that allows our thoughts to wander so freely when gazing out of the train window? This is how the philosopher Jean-Luc Nancy describes listening.
If to hear is to understand the sense, either in the so-called figurative sense or in the so-called proper sense, to hear a siren, a bird, or a drum is already each time to understand at least the rough outline of a situation, a context, if not a text. To listen is to be straining towards a possible meaning, and consequently one that is not immediately accessible. We listen to someone who is giving a speech we want to understand, or else we listen to what can arise from silence and provide a signal or a sign, or else we listen to what is called music. In the case of these first two examples, one can say that listening strains towards a present sense beyond sound. In the latter sense, that of music, it is from sound itself that sense is offered to auscultation. To be listening is always to be on the edge of meaning. To be listening is to be at the same time outside and inside, to be open from without and from within.
And for Stephen Connor, there's a distinct difference between hearing and seeing the world.
When we see something, we do not think of what we see as a separable aspect of it, a ghostly skin shed for our vision. We feel that we see the thing itself, rather than any occasion or extrusion of the thing. But when we hear something, we do not have the same sensation of hearing the things itself. We hear, as it were, the event of the thing, not the thing itself.
And here on this train, these sonic events of your imagination mingle with the things you see.
Georges Perec, Spies. We use our eyes for seeing. Our field of vision reveals a limited space, something vaguely circular, which ends very quickly to left and right, and doesn't extend very far up or down. If we squint, we can manage to see the end of our nose. If we raise our eyes, we can see there's an up. If we lower them, we can see there's a down. If we turn our head in one direction, then in another, we don't even manage to see completely everything there is around us. We have to twist our bodies round to see properly what was behind us. Our gaze travels through space and gives us the illusion of relief and distance. That is how we construct space, with an up and a down, a left and a right, an in front and a behind, a near and a far. When nothing arrests our gaze, it carries a very long way. But if it meets with nothing. It sees only what it meets. Space is what arrests our gaze, what our sight stumbles over, the obstacle, bricks, an angle, a vanishing point. Space is when it makes an angle, when it stops, when we have to turn for it to start off again. There's nothing ectoplasmic about space. It has edges, it doesn't go off in all directions, it does all that needs to be done for railway lines to meet well short of infinity.